Hey everyone, welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host, Skylar Monroe. And if you're into chips, silicon, and the hardware actually powering the AI revolution, you are in exactly the right place. Big thanks to our sponsors, Limitless AI, helping businesses integrate AI into their workflows, and Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development expertise. Today, we've got a packed episode. China's pulling some clever tricks to get around US chip restrictions. Micron and some AI chip picks are turning heads with data center demand. NVIDIA's rolling out new Blackwell server hardware. We're digging into the messy reality of America's AI supply chain, and Huawei is making a bold move into South Korea's market. Let's get into it. All right, kicking things off with a story that is honestly fascinating from a pure engineering standpoint. A new Chinese AI chip startup is using 3D stacking technology to work around US export restrictions. And before you think, oh, this is just another geopolitical story, stick with me, because the technical angle here is genuinely interesting. So let's back up. The US has been tightening export controls on advanced chips going to China for a while now. The restrictions essentially put a ceiling on things like interconnect bandwidth, compute density, and memory bandwidth, key metrics that define how powerful an AI chip really is. The idea is to prevent China from getting access to the kind of cutting-edge silicon that trains large-scale AI models. But here's where it gets clever. 3D stacking, also called chiplet stacking or 3D integration, is a manufacturing technique where instead of building everything on one flat chip, you literally stack layers of chips on top of each other and connect them vertically. Think of it like building a skyscraper instead of a sprawling one-story building. You get way more density in a smaller footprint. Now, the reason this matters in the context of export controls is that the restrictions tend to focus on the performance specs of individual chips, things like transistor density tied to a specific process node. But when you stack multiple chips together and connect them with high-bandwidth vertical interconnects, you can achieve aggregate performance that rivals or even exceeds what a single restricted chip could do, even if each individual die in the stack technically falls below the restricted threshold. It's kind of like the difference between being told you can't have a sports car engine, so you just bolt two regular engines together in a clever way. The individual parts are fine, but the system as a whole does what you wanted anyway. That's a simplification, but the spirit is right. The startup reportedly isn't using cutting-edge lithography either. They're working with older process nodes that are accessible within China's domestic manufacturing ecosystem. And that's significant because China's domestic fabs, primarily SMI, are constrained to around 7 nanometer and above. But with 3D stacking, you can compensate for the lack of leading-edge process technology by stacking more dies and connecting them efficiently. The key technical challenge with 3D stacking is thermal management and interconnect density. When you stack chips, heat has a harder time escaping and you need extremely precise alignment to get those vertical connections, called through-silicon vias or TSVs, to work reliably. Getting this right at scale is genuinely hard engineering, so it's notable that a startup is pushing this direction. For the industry, this is a signal that China's semiconductor ecosystem is getting more creative and more capable despite the restrictions. It's also a reminder that export controls, while impactful, aren't an impenetrable wall. They're more like a fence that clever engineers are always looking for ways to climb over or go around. Policymakers are going to have to keep evolving their approach as the hardware techniques evolve. This one is definitely worth watching. Okay, moving on to something a little more market-focused. There's been a lot of buzz around Micron stock lately, along with a couple of other AI chip picks that analysts are flagging as strong plays based on data center demand. Let's break down why data centers are driving so much of the chip investment story right now. So Micron, for those not super familiar, is one of the world's biggest memory chip manufacturers. They make DRAM and NAND flash, which are the workhorses of data storage and memory in basically every computing system on the planet. And in the AI era, memory has become almost as important as compute. Like, your GPU can be blindingly fast, but if it's starved of data because the memory can't keep up, you've wasted a lot of that compute potential. This is actually a well-known bottleneck in AI hardware circles. It's called the memory wall. The gap between how fast processors can crunch numbers versus how fast they can actually get data in and out of memory. And as AI models get bigger and more complex, that wall becomes more and more of a real constraint. Enter high bandwidth memory, or HBM. This is a specialized type of DRAM that uses, you guessed it, 3D stacking to pack memory dies together and connect them with massive bandwidth. Micron, alongside SK Hynix and Samsung, is one of the key suppliers of HBM, and demand for it has gone through the roof because every major AI accelerator, NVIDIA's H100, H200, Blackwell chips uses HBM as its primary memory. So when you're looking at Micron as an AI investment play, you're essentially betting on the continued explosive demand for the memory that feeds AI chips. And the data center angle is huge here. Hyperscalers like Microsoft, Google, Amazon, and Meta are spending tens of billions of dollars building out AI infrastructure, and a massive chunk of that spending flows through to memory suppliers. The two other AI chip picks mentioned in the story are being flagged because of similar data center tailwinds. When cloud providers are on a spending spree building out AI compute clusters, it's not just the GPU makers that benefit, it's the whole ecosystem. Memory suppliers, networking chip companies, power management specialists, they all ride that wave. For investors in the audience, the key thing to understand is that AI hardware isn't just about who makes the flashiest accelerator. It's an ecosystem play. The picks backed by data center demand are interesting because they're tied to structural infrastructure build-out, the kind of spending that doesn't stop when one model generation gives way to the next. Data centers need to be fed, cooled, connected, and managed regardless of which AI model is trendy this week. It's also worth noting that memory in particular has historically been a cyclical business. Prices go up and down with supply and demand cycles. But the AI-driven demand for HBM is being described by a lot of analysts as a more durable structural demand shift rather than a typical boom-bust cycle. Whether that holds is something to watch. But right now, the data center spending story is very much intact. Next up, let's talk NVIDIA, because of course we are. It's basically a rule on this podcast. NVIDIA just announced the RTX PoA04500 Blackwell Server Edition, and they're pairing it with their VGPU20 software platform for AI-ready data center scaling. This is an interesting one because it's not the flagship H100 or GB200 territory. It's more about bringing Blackwell architecture into the professional visualization and enterprise server space. So the RTX PoA04500 sits in NVIDIA's professional GPU lineup. Historically, this line has been aimed at workstations doing things like design, simulation, scientific visualization, that kind of work. But with the Server Edition branding and the Blackwell architecture underneath, NVIDIA is clearly signaling that this chip can pull double duty, handling AI inference workloads alongside traditional visualization tasks. Blackwell, for context, is NVIDIA's current generation architecture. It succeeded Hopper, which powered the H100 and H200. Blackwell brought some significant architectural improvements, including a new transformer engine that's much more efficient at running the kind of attention mechanisms that large language models rely on. It also introduced higher precision formats and better support for the FP4 and FP8 data types that make inference faster and more efficient. Now, the VGPU20 software piece is equally important here, and this is something people often overlook when they focus on the hardware specs. VGPU stands for Virtual GPU, and what it does is allow a single physical GPU to be sliced up and shared across multiple virtual machines. So instead of one GPU serving one workload, you might have one GPU serving 8 or 16 different virtual environments simultaneously. Think of it like apartment buildings versus single-family homes. A single-family home, that's a physical GPU dedicated to one tenant, one workload. An apartment building, that's VGPU, where you slice up the physical resource and rent it out to multiple tenants. You get way better utilization of the underlying hardware, which matters a lot when you're talking about expensive accelerators and enterprise data centers. The reason this matters for AI is inference. Training AI models requires massive dedicated compute. That's your single-family home scenario. But inference actually running the model and serving predictions to users can be done with smaller, more distributed workloads. And enterprises running internal AI tools, coding assistants, document analysis systems, they don't always need a full H100. They need something efficient, flexible, and manageable. That's where this RTX PoA04500 Blackwell Server Edition plays. NVIDIA is essentially trying to capture the enterprise AI inference market at a price and power envelope that makes sense for businesses that aren't hyperscalers. It's a smart move. Not every company is Meta or Google, but a lot of companies want to run AI in their own data centers or private clouds rather than relying entirely on public cloud providers. The combination of Blackwell Silicon and VGPU20 software gives IT departments real flexibility to manage AI workloads alongside traditional enterprise applications, and that kind of operational simplicity is genuinely valuable. NVIDIA continues to show it understands the full stack, not just the chip. All right. Here's a story that really gets into the geopolitical and supply chain weeds. And honestly, it's one of the most important things to understand about AI hardware right now. The headline is that NVIDIA and Intel are both touting American chip supply chain capabilities as domestic production ramps up. But there's a major catch. The most critical packaging steps for Blackwell chips remain offshore. And that's not expected to change until at least 2028. Let me unpack what this actually means, because chip manufacturing is not a single step. It's a long, complicated chain. You start with designing the chip. That happens in the US at companies like NVIDIA, AMD, Qualcomm. Then you need to fabricate the silicon wafers, that's mostly TSMC, in Taiwan, with Samsung in South Korea. Then you have what's called advanced packaging, where multiple dies get assembled together, connected, and prepared for use. And finally, you test and ship. Now the U.S. has been making real progress on the fabrication side. TSMC is building fabs in Arizona. Intel is investing heavily in its domestic foundry ambitions. And the CHIPS Act has pumped billions of dollars into domestic semiconductor manufacturing. So the narrative of AI supply chain starts and ends in the U.S. isn't entirely wrong. Design is American. Final testing and assembly of complete systems often happens in the U.S. But here's the critical missing piece: advanced packaging. For NVIDIA's Blackwell chips specifically, the packaging that involves things like CoWoS, chip on wafer on substrate, which is TSMC's advanced packaging technology that bonds the GPU die to HBM memory stacks. That's happening in Taiwan, and it is arguably the most performance critical step in the whole process. Here's an analogy. Imagine you're building a high-performance race car. You design it in America. Great. The engine blocks are cast in America. Great. But the precision assembly of the engine, where the tolerances are measured in microns and the skill is irreplaceable, that's happening in one specialized factory overseas. Saying you have an American supply chain while that step is offshore is a bit like saying the car is American-made while the most critical manufacturing step happens somewhere else. CoWoS and similar advanced packaging technologies are genuinely hard to replicate. They require specialized equipment, specialized expertise, and years of yield learning, figuring out how to make the process work reliably at scale. You can't just build a factory overnight. The U.S. has been investing in this through companies like Amkor and others, but 2028 is the realistic timeline for meaningful domestic advanced packaging capacity for leading-edge chips. This matters a lot for national security reasons, which is really driving the policy conversation. If there's ever a disruption to Taiwan, whether that's geopolitical tension, a natural disaster, anything, the AI chip supply chain gets severely impacted, even if all the other pieces are domestic. It's a real vulnerability that the industry and policymakers are acutely aware of. The good news is that the investments being made now are real and substantial. The bad news is that this kind of infrastructure takes time, and 2028 feels like a long way away when AI development is moving this fast. This is one of those stories where the gap between the political narrative and the industrial reality is pretty significant, and it's worth keeping in mind as you hear politicians talk about bringing chip manufacturing home. And for our final story today, let's talk about Huawei making a move into the South Korean AI chip market, with its Ascend 950 chips packaged into what it's calling the Atlas SuperPod. And the numbers being thrown around here are genuinely eye-catching, reportedly triple the inference performance of NVIDIA's H20 at one quarter the cost. First, some context on why South Korea specifically. South Korea is a major tech hub, home to Samsung, SK Hynix, and a robust ecosystem of tech companies that are all investing heavily in AI. It's also a market where NVIDIA has had very strong penetration. If Huawei can establish a foothold there, it's a meaningful signal that its AI hardware ambitions extend beyond the Chinese domestic market. Now let's talk about the Atlas 950 SuperPod. It packs 8,102 Ascend 950 accelerators per deployment. That is a lot of chips. For reference, a typical NVIDIA DGX SuperPOD configuration is much smaller, so Huawei is going big on scale to compete. The Ascend 950 is built on Huawei's in-house Ascend architecture, which the company has been iterating on for several years despite being cut off from TSMC's leading-edge nodes due to U.S. sanctions. The claimed performance numbers, triple the inference throughput of the H20 at a quarter of the price, need to be taken with some healthy skepticism. We don't have independent benchmarks on this yet, and hardware claims from vendors, especially in competitive situations, tend to be measured under very favorable conditions. That said, even if the real-world advantage is more modest, the pricing angle alone is significant. The H20, for context, is the version of NVIDIA's chips that's actually allowed to be sold in China under U.S. export controls. It's a downgraded version of the H100 with reduced interconnect performance. So Huawei is essentially saying we can beat even the restricted, less powerful version of NVIDIA's hardware at a fraction of the cost. Whether that holds up in practice across diverse workloads is a big question. The pricing story is where things get really interesting for the competitive landscape. NVIDIA commands premium pricing because of its software ecosystem, CUDA, the libraries, the tooling, the developer familiarity. That software moat is enormous. But if Huawei can offer hardware at a quarter of the price and close enough performance, and if they build out a compelling software stack, which they've been investing in with their CAN framework, some customers will absolutely make the switch. The South Korean angle is also interesting because South Korean companies have complex relationships with both the US and China. They're deeply integrated with the US economically and politically, but China is a massive market for their products too. A Huawei AI chip making inroads there creates some real geopolitical tension that goes beyond just the hardware. For the broader industry, this is another reminder that NVIDIA's dominance, while very real and deeply entrenched, is not unchallenged. Between AMD, Intel, Gaudi, domestic Chinese players, and now Huawei going international, the competitive pressure is building from multiple directions. NVIDIA's software ecosystem remains its strongest moat, but hardware competition at aggressive price points is a real long-term challenge. Keep an eye on this one. And that's a wrap on today's episode of the AI Hardware Show. We covered a ton of ground today, from China's clever 3D stacking workarounds, to memory chip investments riding the data center wave, NVIDIA's Blackwell Enterprise push, the real gaps in America's chip supply chain, and Huawei's bold international expansion. There's never a dull moment in this industry. The AI Hardware Show is brought to you by Limitless AI, helping you integrate AI into your business workflows, and Ago Consulting, your silicon development partners. That's Ago. If you found